Hello, welcome to the Old Man Orange Podcast. I'm Spencer Scott Holmes.
And I'm Ryan Dunnigan.
And now we're coming at you with the fourth part of those Evangelion rebuild movies. The fourth part as in the weird name of 3.0, you know, plus 1.01. So you get that extra 0.01. That's the secret ingredient, boy, I tell you.
And what's the other subtitle?
Thrice Upon a Time. It should be like Thrice Upon Not a Time or something like that, because they have not in all the other ones.
Yeah, and like in parentheses too. So, but maybe, I don't know, maybe there's... Here's the thing, because if you've been listening to the series, we've already talked about how this went from being a reboot to a surprise, it's actually a sequel.
Yeah.
It's meant to be kind of like it ends where it starts kind of thing. Kind of like, all right, so it's the three plus the one because it's a new beginning. So it's kind of, that's the theme, I guess. It still sounds ridiculous as shit. I do want to say this. Watching the series last year and watching like the anime series and the end of Evangelion movie, and then watching these four movies again has kind of reminded me why I liked the series and why I got into it. Is one of the, you know, aside from Pokemon, one of the things that got me into anime. I will say, though, I feel like Anno Hideako, or however you pronounce his name, I feel like he is kind of... He's clearly a guy who has, like, you know, depression or anxieties and that kind of thing. But I feel like his... It's kind of a roller coaster of emotions. You can kind of tell what he was feeling when that week when they wrote that episode, you know?
Yeah, Zach. Well, I also like, because I remember I was just reading like up on this one just like a little bit, and it was all like, you know, it's like, you know, Anno was feeling kind of depressed, and he didn't really want to make the fourth Evangelion, so it's almost like he's like, hey, give me that fucking Godzilla movie. I want to do that instead. I'm like, what? Why? Well, I'm depressed. I need someone to make me feel like laugh again and have a good time.
Well, I mean, when you think about Shin Godzilla, it does feel a lot like Evangelion in the aspect of, like, there's all the... Because the show had it better than the movie. I mean, the movie still has it, but where they sit around the command table and they're like, okay, we only got one shot at this. And they have a very strategic way, like, we gotta stick to this plan. Mm-hmm. And that's the way they'd always conquer the angel. There's the whole thing of analyzing it and then roundtable discussion, like, can we do this? And that's what all of Shin Godzilla is, basically. So it's kind of like, you say you took a break, but I think you just want to, let's just keep the religious shit out of it, you know?
Yeah, it's like, well, those ones, you know, let's just keep, you know, with the religion of Japan, Godzilla, you know? We're going to go with that one. But yeah, just remind me, like, those ones, like, it's almost like, you know, the same Evangelion's making me kind of depressed. I need something else that's, like, really different. What do you want to do? I don't know. Give me one of those Gundam Wing shows to, like, take over for a bit. Like, it's not that different. No, it's completely different. It's not even the same thing. I don't even know where you're getting this. Like this, it's not even like completely different universes. There's no way you could ever even have a crossover between. Wouldn't even make sense. You know what I mean?
But they did have a crossover to Godzilla and Gundam. There's like a ride, like one of those boxes you get into, like Star Tours, and you're one of those hovercraft helicopter looking things. Yeah. You're flying around and basically watching the Evas and Godzilla fight.
It probably is the exact same ride as the Transformers one at Universal Studios Hollywood. They just switch out the Transformers characters of Godzilla and Gundam characters. Like, exact, like action for action, beat for beat.
Transformers, right, because we went to Universal, like, only a few months ago. That was actually pretty badass. I was kind of like, all right, whatever, Transformers, line's short, let's do it now, I guess, while we can. Like, oh, that was actually pretty cool. But as far as going back to Evangelion, it is also one of those things, because you think about, like, because he had a little bit of a episode, I guess, when they're doing the last couple episodes, so it comes the whole thing of like, hey guys, we're low on money, but I've also been, so, you know, we got to figure a way around this. Also, I've been thinking, I've been seeing a therapist, and I was wondering if you could somehow get what my therapist is telling me and get it into like a PowerPoint presentation for the show. And they're like, wait, what? You know? and then like he comes on a high note, like, I'm feeling really good about this. I'm feeling good. Everyone's like, what the fuck was that shit? He's like, oh, okay, that's how you fucking feel? I'll make the fucking movie, and guess what? Shinji didn't learn fucking nothing. He's still mad. It ends with him strangling fucking Asuka. Fuck you.
Yeah, it's exactly like that, you know.
So you need another like 10 or 15 years to calm down and be like, hey guys, I'm sorry I said that.
Well, because I will say, like, the one thing is with the regular, like, the original 96 show or whatever, is there's those handful of, like, last episodes, give or take, like, 8 or 9, or I don't know, so somewhat there, where, like, it is where, like, you could tell the budget cuts, and it's just like, okay, we're just going to have a lot of, like, you know, cheap shots and talking and, like, inside the mind type stuff. And, like, because I will say when it kind of gets to there, that's where it does, like, slow down a bit for me. I'm not saying that there's not interesting stuff in there, but it is that one where it's just like, hey, can we get back to, like, the, you know, the Ava's fighting shit and so on? Like, I get these people have problems, but you know what? There's no problem that I know of that can't be solved by a good robot punch attack.
Well, it's also one of those things where the original ending to the show, I'm kind of wondering, like, did they plan, like, okay, in a year or two or a few years, we're going to come back and we're going to give them an ending to explain what happens, or we're just, you know, I'm wondering if that happened, or if they literally thought that was going to be okay and that was going to be satisfying for most people. Because there's nothing wrong with what it's saying, and with context, with the end of Evangelion, and then with the other movies we got, it's fine, it's acceptable. But if that's all it ever was, I feel like people will be like, what the fuck was that show? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was loving it, but then it did this thing at the end, and the world ended, but we didn't get to see. Why didn't we see how the world ended? So I think that something about that, I'm wondering if they were planning to go back. It's just people sending them death threats and spray painting the Gainax Studios, if that had them go, like, you know what? Fuck them. We're giving what they want. We're going to show Asuka come back and be a badass, then she's going to die or get her ass kicked brutally. And then we're going to show Shinji, like, we're going to make Shinji even more worse than what he was in the show by making him, like, jerk off on the comatose girls and, like, not, like, get anything done by the end of the day.
Yeah, exactly. Like, one of those ones. Well, I will say, because, like, then you get to this one here, and then you this one's kind of ending and so on. I mean, it does start off, like, Shinji is just, like, a bitch for, like, the first, like, 45 minutes, just, like, sitting there, just, like, curled in, like, the fetal position, just people just literally drag him from one room to the other and just leave him there for, like, a day.
Well, I feel like, here's the thing, I think that we're all kind of a little over that, because we've seen Shinji do that a bunch of times.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'll say it's not within reason of this version, because for him, this is the first time all this is happening, as far as he knows.
Yeah.
And on top of that, the whole thing with Kaworu is way worse this time than it was in the show, and he has to live with the fact that he actually destroyed the world and didn't realize what he was doing, and then on top of that, he accidentally almost destroyed the world again, but Kaworu had to take the bullet for him to stop it from happening. So I kind of get and why, but at the same time, it's like you've seen him, like, mope in a corner sulking for so many times. It's like, all right, let's wrap this part up a little bit. But I did like seeing the rest of the village life, though.
Oh, yeah. No, I think that's kind of cool, because then it's like you see all, like, some of the other characters, too, like, almost, like, all grown up and older and so on. They're all having, like, a great time. Like, hey, come on. Like, Shinji, like, be fun. Like, you know, we go pick corn or whatnot, you know, and go to the rice fields, you know. And then he's like, oh, you don't want to do that? Well, okay, well, I'm a repairman now, so I'm going to go fix stuff, because I didn't want to do any fucking farm work. Shit, no, was I getting out of that.
Kinsuke totally became the guy who, back in high school, that's super nerdy, like, hey, guys! And then, like, you know, once he got out of high school, gained a little bit more self-confidence, did some, like, got, like, a CrossFit or some shit, and then out of that, suddenly just decided to, like, you know what, I'm gonna be kind of like Eddie Vedder in the, like, early 2000s. That's what he kind of looks like, sort of. He has the long hair, he's just riding around a Jeep, like, oh, I'm just the handyman, you know, everyone goes to me for shit, and he's just, like, I think I appreciate that, like, you know, everybody, it makes sense, because they're in their, like, late 20s, early 30s, and they had to grow up quick, but I do like this whole aspect that they're still the same kids they were in the series, and I think it's trying to make a thing, like, all the supporting characters grew up and aged, so I think it's trying to say something about fandom or something to that effect. That's my guess, at least.
Yeah, well, because, I mean, like, even, like, him, it's like, he does sort of have, I guess, like, the realistic nerdy job, in a sense, and like, you know, if you're kind of in, like, a post-apocalyptic style, like, setting, it's just like, well, you know, you're a nerd, you used to fix computers and shit, well, come fix my toilet now.
Well, I feel like that his charisma.
That's not really the same thing. I don't give a fuck if it's the same thing. You're doing it, fucking geek.
It's like the bully from, like, his old high school class telling him this shit.
Go on, nerd. I don't have a computer for you to fucking fix this time, but you're going to fix something in my house.
All the people Shinji couldn't send to the apocalypse during that time, you couldn't send this motherfucker?
Yeah, exactly. One of those. You know, and then I just like, because, like, Asuka's just down there, and she's just pretty much walking around, like, half-naked, like, I don't fucking do any of this shit. I'm here to protect the town. I'm going to play my fucking Wonder Swan right now.
I was thinking, like, actually, this might seem like a dumb question. Was that a real video game system she was playing, like a really obscure video game system?
It looked just like a Wonder Swan. That's what it looked like. Which a Wonder Swan didn't really exist in the U.S. I mean, you could find them, but they were, like, imported here.
I assumed that that was some kind of, like, Ava mind coordination kind of thing she was doing. Like, she wasn't playing the game for fun. It was more of just kind of a mind exercise thing. Because if you look at it, it's just, like, matching red patterns on a grid. So I was just like, that's, I'm guessing they're trying to work something into it. Even when it looks like she's relaxing, she's still, like, training and keeping adept, you know?
Yeah, I do think it was definitely something kind of like that. Because then you also have, it's like almost like her thing is that, like, when she's on, I guess you would say, break, she's playing the games. And then you have Mari, she has just, like, a ridiculous collection of, like, old books.
And Rei is learning to live. I'll say I like the whole plot point of Rei suddenly having to learn how to live a bit and try to, like, oh, this is what work is, this is what this is. Because even in the original show, she went to school and all that, but she never really socialized. She went to school, she got kind of close to Shinji, they're in the robots, then she died, and that's all they would kind of do. So I did like that we got to see her do some daily life stuff, you know, other than just go to school.
Yeah, she gets hooked up with all the old ladies who are like, oh, come on, we're going to go plant some rice fields, and then we're going to go get naked in the bath. You never had one of them baths before? Oh, Phil, you're in for a treat. We're going to get real hammered later on, too. You don't know what happens after that.
Yeah. Get a fuck ton of sake going.
Yeah, it's nice to have some young blood around us.
I was wondering if it was going to go that way, because they... The show likes to show, like, I'm repeating a lot of words, but in different contexts. The series likes to show, a lot of naked girls. And I feel like Rei, they kind of turned... I know we got giant naked Rei near the end.
Yeah.
But aside from that, I feel like they were really pulling back on Rei in this particular section of the series.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, other than, like, the mass production of Rei's for that one, like, ginormous...
Oh, yeah, I forgot that part.
But it's more like Rei with no head, so I don't know if that really counts.
Oh, those things. Oh, yeah, all the giant Aves. We'll get to that. That was fucking...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a computer's render nightmare right there. That's all I saw when I saw that scene.
Well, also, going back to what we were talking about with not just that, but in the town, I would... Something that... I get why they don't show it, because it's already like a 2 hour and a 2.5 hour movie or whatever, or 2 hours and 40 minutes, something like that. I would have liked to see, like, you know, whatever the daily life was the day the Earth ended. Like, seeing people in class and then suddenly the Earth ends, so we see how people die. Like, do they die, like, in the first movie where they explode into LCL and they see someone, they see the person they love before they die, or... Does it leave that little, like, spirit cross thing, or what happens? I'm curious to know and see how people are reacting. You know what I mean? Something like someone's exploding into LCL at the dinner table or something, you know?
Yeah, no, that stuff would be kind of cool to see. I mean, I know that, like, this thing's... The whole point of all four of these movies is that we see generally everything from, for the most part, Shinji's kind of perspective and his kind of, like, timeline, you know? But that would have been cool to see some more of that kind of stuff there. And kind of, I think it's that thing where they just want to give it to you, like, hey, it's, like, 14 or 15 years later even... And this is, you're kind of catching up, like, the same way that Shinji sort of would be. Except for Shinji for, like, the first week is just, like, moping in the corner. And then Asuka just shoves, like, a bunch of crackers down her throat like she's fucking Jafar, like in...
like he's fucking Iago?
Or no, yeah, not Jafar, but the Sultan when he shoves the crackers in Iago.
I'll be the one jamming crackers down his fucking throat!
And of course she's doing it with, like, no clothes on, too, just for, like, a weirder scene.
Well, here's the thing that has me kind of wondering. I'm wondering because by that point she's warmed up to Kensuke, and it's kind of interesting because he was, like, ogling all over her in school And now, I mean, granted, I know she's still the same age because the whole, like, Curse of the Ava shit. But he just kind of, yeah, that's Asuka. Just drops a towel on her, over her as he walks in. Like, and she's like, he's like the one person that she kind of likes in that town. And she doesn't hate people, but she just says, like, I can't get close to people because I got to protect them. So now she's all business, no play, but still very boisterous. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering the whole thing with her and Kensuke. Like, was that just kind of like a platonic relationship? Or in the future, are they, like, is it implied that, like, man, if only we were the same age?
Well, and it's like, realistically, they're the same age. They just don't look the same, you know, because she's still 28, too, or whatever the hell you want. Or wait, 32. Because that'd be 14.
Oh, yeah.
14 and 14.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, technically, she is. She doesn't age. So, it's like, realistically, I guess for him, that'd be like, like, there's your wife that doesn't age.
Woody Allen's dream right there.
So. Yeah, you know. But I think it's more it's one of those ones like, whatever, it's the fucking nerd. I could be bully him around and whatnot, you know. I have to pay fucking rent and shit because, you know, protect the village is what I do. I just feel it's more like one of those ones. I feel like Oscar's really written like a dude kind of character. Just like, she's almost like the bro character where it's just like, in a sense, it'd be like the same thing like a guy just walking around in his boxes all day long and just doesn't care. You know what I mean? Like, whatever. I don't need to do stuff. Like, you know, I'll go outside and work on my motorcycle for a bit. Hold on.
After that, I might just hang on my underwear and play my Neo Geo Pocket for a while.
Yeah, like that. That's sort of like what it reminds me of. Is like they just kind of write her like almost like that way. You know, it's like almost not really written like a girl at all. It's just written like, yo, what's up? Save the planet. What do you do? Oh, that's not cool. Oh, whatever.
Well, it also said something that like she couldn't eat. Because this one, they got across more, like, they hinted at, okay, she has the eye patch, okay, she was infected by an angel at some point, but we find out, oh, she's half angel now. Like, it took me this movie to realize, oh, she's half angel, that's why, because when she starts jamming the food down Shinji's throat, like, you can still eat, you can still enjoy this, you can still enjoy that, only thing I can have physically is water, and here you are, moping, feeling sorry for just laundry list of complaints.
Yeah. I also like this, like, that one where, like, Asuka's just like, he's just like, yeah, I force-fed him. He's good for another couple days.
Not breaking eye contact from the video game.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know what it was. That line just made me laugh. Where's he at? Oh, he's at, like, the, you know, the old, whatever, fucking docks, or I don't know what the hell it is. It's where all, like, Pen-Pen's, like, fucking children live at.
Pen-Pen's like, I'm the king, fuck penguin!
I fuck any penguin that moves!
Just want to know, like, does everyone have a penguin in their house? Because all we really see is Rei's home life and Shinji's home life and Nerd HQ back in the show and these movies. So I'm wondering if, like, oh, yeah, everyone has penguins. They're like fucking cats out here. They get all territorial and shit. They're all hissing at each other, walking in a circle.
Yeah, you don't know. I mean, there is cats and dogs in the town and so on, because even Rei gets to find them, like, what is cat? Do we eat cat?
Am I cat?
Yeah.
Is Cat love?
Who is Cat Stevens?
Do we like Cat Stevens? It's Yusuf now. Like, oh, okay.
You know, because everything's a question, you know, for her and so on. But
we didn't talk about that opening scene in Paris. Unless you would finish your thoughts. Sorry, I mean to cut you off there.
Oh, well, when you did say opening scene, I will have to say, let's just say that if this was the very first Evangelion you ever stumbled across, and you saw that intro opening catch-up at, like, hyperspeed that goes for, like, 10 minutes of just, like, this is what happened in the last three episodes, it literally felt like that Digimon catch-up thing in the Digimon movie. Like, where it just went at, like as fast as you could humanly go, it just be like, hey, let's tell you about all the characters right now. This is what all the characters, blah, 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 blah. And, like, that's what it did in this one, too, where it just went and explained the first three movies. But if that was the first thing you tuned into because you're confused by the fucking title, that would have been, like, one of those ones be like, what's going on? Like, you would have been, like, fucking Alex at the Clockwork Orange, just, like, lean back in that chair, just fucking, like, wide-eyed, just being like, no, no.
Well, it's also, like, I could see, I remember, because you made the reference to the Digimon thing, I remember when we rewatched that, because we were going to do a commentary on it, like a joke commentary, but then we're like, I don't want to watch that again, you know? But,
well, it was I felt like we got, like, 15 minutes into it, and I'm like, I watched this as a kid. Like, I literally watched it, I think, in theaters, and I'm confused at what's going on now. Like, I almost need to start fresh.
that, and then like on top of that, you told me like, I feel like a dad, and my kid is explaining his favorite cartoon to me on the way to school. You know?
Yeah.
So now I'm just imagining the Evangelion version of that, but then he's like quoting like Kuwaru, Shinji, you don't have a choice, but Kuwaru, just reenacting scenes out. I get it.
Yeah, exactly. That was the scene on the bus before fucking like. Oh, fucking Shinji's dad dropped him off. He was explaining his favorite new anime.
This Yu Yu Hakusho, what? Get the fuck out.
You say he fucking dies in, like, the first episode, and then he's floating around as a goat? As a ghost? Like, I thought you said it was a kung fu show. Well, there is kung fu in it. Yeah, no, but he's dead, and, like, he's got to, like, what? Like, talk his mom, his alcoholic mom, who's just out there, like... You know, doing dope in the streets pretty much every night. Like, that's, what the fuck is going on here?
I do like that part, though. When he's at the funeral and there's two teachers. They're like, fuck that kid. I don't care if he died trying to protect another kid.
Bow. It's just, which, you know, let's be honest. You know, that's what most teachers would say if you kind of had that fucking derelict. You'd be like, hey, you just caused us nothing but trouble. You know what? Fuck him.
There has to be that.
We got 1,000 more good kids at that school.
There's got to be, like, you know, like, every so often, there's going to be, you know, a student dies or something. I remember there was one time we got an announcement, like, you should all know, everyone, that over the weekend, this student died. And then, like, you know, someone said, like, yeah, it was he apparently was speeding in the snow up in this one area, and the car flipped, and he died. He's like, guy's a fucking douchebag. And the teacher was walking by, like, you shouldn't see him saying that about the dead, but, yeah, he kind of was.
Yeah, that's almost like what that scene was like.
The toned down version, you know, there'd be a couple teachers in the lounge, like, yeah, like, not about this kid, not this kid, but whenever that happens, there's got to be some kid the teachers hate all together.
Yeah,
like, fuck yeah, they have to have like a little mini, like, all right, tomorrow we're having a potluck.
Yeah, exactly, my treat. But
yeah, so,
but yeah, like. Yeah, I guess that's like, you know, they have that fun kind of like town life and so on. Is they're kind of like, I mean, you get that like intro, like action scene, I guess, right after the ginormous long catch up and so on.
Even then, because you think like, okay, it's a show where they're fighting robots and angels, apparently. And you see like, you know, Ava, whichever unit that is, I think that's 8 now, or it's hard to keep up.
Yeah.
But that one, which... Just change the... I mean, it still looks cool, but just change the color. I think that'd be, like, one of the coolest looking Avas. Because it has, like, 4 eyes, and the fins kind of go back, sort of.
Well, isn't that the one Mari flies?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it kind of makes sense, because, I mean, her kind of thing is she's all kind of, like, pink and pink. A little bit more girly than the other characters.
No, I get it. It's not a dumb-looking robot. It's a cool design.
Yeah. I don't want to fly a pink robot.
If you could...
That's like being Mr. Pussy.
Exactly.
You're Mr. Pink!
All the other Gavas just gangbang the pink one. Yeah.
What happened to Mr. Black? There's a Mr. Black on another job.
Shit, that would actually be a good like mashup T-shirt. Like all the Ava pilots as Reservoir Dogs, like Mr. Purple, Mr. Red, Mr. Blue. It's just a bunch of girls. Now I'm thinking about a bunch of girls and like 2 guys.
Yeah, well, Gendo would definitely have to be, like, the boss guy, the bald dude.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like that and so on. Is either that or that be Masato? I don't know.
Masato's nice guy, Eddie. She's the one looking out. She's the big fat dude. She's the guy looking out for Shinji. Like, he's good! Like, you know, like, Mr. Purple didn't sell us out. Let's be honest. If one of them was going to sell him out, it would be Shinji.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Shinji would definitely have to be fucking, what's his name, though? Fucking Tim Roth.
Yeah, Mr. Orange, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. That's totally the Shinji, like, I'm fucking dying! Sing the fucking song, Shinji! You're not gonna die!
Let's sing the fucking song! Fly me to the moon! Let me play among the stars! I can't fucking hear you!
I almost feel this sounds so weird. Harvey Keitel would be Mari. Because that's almost sort of what it is. She's sort of the character that kind of takes care of Shinji in a weird way, too.
Now I'm just imagining, like, roles reverse for Evangelion, like, fucking Mr. White landing on top of fucking Mr. Orange, like Tim Roth, going like, you smell nice, like LCL. Guess who? Guess. Let me give you a hint.
It's the guy with the big balls.
Tits. Guy in sunglasses.
Just Harvey Keitel. I mean, it's Harvey Keitel, so you'd have no problem with any of the nude scenes.
You just walk in. That's like default. He just walks in on set like, Harvey! Like, what? Oh, this isn't that scene?
Oh, my mistake. I'm more comfortable like this. Just film me from the head up then. Can't you just CG in a suit on me? It's fucking hot as balls in here.
I'm just imagining that scene where, like, it's a upside down. It was an upside down shot looking at Mari's ass while she's naked, and you see kind of see her back. It's angled upside down shot. Now I'm just imagining Harvey Keitel. They expect me to fit into this shit, you know, across from Asuka.
It's just kind of like he like goes to like tighten the suit up, and it just kind of like tears in the back. Fuck it, just going like this.
Just bare ass walking.
Just like his ass just hanging out the suit.
Wow, they really chose when to do rotoscope animation, didn't they?
You know, the worst part, too, is Harvey Keitel likes to do his own rotoscope.
Says makes it more authentic.
He also doesn't like to wear anything when he does the rotoscoping, either. I always feel like that's like the weirdest one. Like I feel like if there's a male actor that I've seen naked more than any other actors, it's Harvey Keitel. And that just doesn't seem like the one you need to be saying, but...
Harvey Keitel, like... Seen Ben Affleck naked a few times.
Yeah, but he's not, like, full naked, though. He's not just, like...
He is in Gone Girl.
Yeah, that's, like the only one where he's, like, full, like, dick-swinging naked.
Yeah. There's gotta be... Okay, anyway.
See, at least Ben Speaking Affleck, though, nudity, I mean, like, that's fine. That's, like, looking at... That's just looking at Batman naked when you think about it.
Yeah, no,
you know,
Harvey Keitel
is, like, just, like, you know...
Well, it's kind of like in Taxi Driver, he's not a bad looking guy.
No,
then suddenly, we get him to the 70s and he immediately ages like 15 years.
Yeah, and then next thing you know, it's like he decides to go real naked all the time in the 90s.
Wait, is Taxi Driver late 60s or early 70s?
That's 76.
76. Oh, I don't know the fuck I'm talking about. Yeah, it's like he got to the 80s and suddenly he just. Because even like movies like past that, he just. Just a little past that. He looks so much older. I don't know what it is.
Well, that's like the weird one when you watch like fucking Mean Streets. Like his head looks like it's like 50 years old, but then he's got the body of like a 22-year-old. It's fucking weird.
That's true, yeah.
Like that's the most bizarre part of that, but yeah, Evangelion.
There's lots of nudity in that too.
Yeah, there's a lot of like just that like sort of like partial, I guess, almost, and like kind of side shots and ass cheek shots and, you know.
Well, they have Ray. They don't see the camera for Ray.
Like it's none of the dudes. So if anybody's looking for that, you're not getting much of that.
Yeah, they do pull back on that.
It's not like Shinji's just dick swinging around.
Oh, I don't know. What if Shinji just had like just the most massive hog possible? Like how, like none of this confidence. Like, oh, I don't know. And he's got it swinging down to his knee.
Yeah, he fucking like just like kind of tips over and falls asleep standing up like a tripod.
Gendo's like, look, I changed his diapers. That's why I know what he's packing, okay? And that's what pisses me off. He should have, like, you know, like, Goku-level confidence. But he has, like, the confidence I fucking had one. Fuck.
Well, then again, Goku doesn't have
someone
the biggest...
Jesus Christ. Please edit this part out if you can. Shit.
Well, then Goku doesn't really have the biggest swing of dick when you really think about it. Because you see Goku naked probably more than, like, anything else.
That's true. You do see Goku naked a lot.
So, yeah, he's just
always... He's got that confidence. He doesn't know better. He's just like, he doesn't care. He's just ready to fucking punch something.
Yeah, he just struts around.
Gendo's like, look, he should have the confidence of fucking Goku. But he's got the confidence of, like, the fucking, like, egg thing that Misty carries around, okay? That's what
Togepi.
Yeah. or a manifesto. So it's just like, can we, so you think that, you know, I'm just like, yeah, I'll toughen him up and I'll leave him and then it's just going to, nature will take its course. Not the case. Every time the apocalypse fucking happens, either I need him or he doesn't, he's lying in the fucking corner.
I love, like, that's how, like, Gendo's kind of thing was. He's like, you know what? You know, in the olden days, you would just drop a boy off on an island and he'd have to survive by himself for, like, a month, you know, and that's how you knew that he'd turn to a man. Well, I did the same thing. I just dropped him off at, like, you know, the east side of town and I said, fuck it. He'll figure it out. He'll become a man. And no,
he never came home.
He never came home. He just cried and someone took pity on him or something. I don't know. I really don't know what happened those last 10 years, but. Fucking T-ball game fucked up, and I lost a lot of money. So, you know, he fucking deserves it.
You know what? I toughened up, too. I'm now about to cause the end of the world, because I miss my wife.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Yeah, you know what? Fuck you. Shinji, I get it. Yeah, you don't like people? I didn't like fucking people either. They fucking pissed me off. I like knowledge and power and the piano. Because the piano, I can fuck the piano. What? Oh, nothing. But your mom came along, and I stopped doing that. Then I found a boy who loved the piano, and I was like, you know what, I love this fucking boy, but, you know, it's fucking weird to love a boy, isn't it? Shinji, you know
maybe
what I mean,
this boy,
right?
Maybe this boy will love my boy. He does. Oh, he died. Fuck.
Why would you put those fucking collars on everybody? Like, what is really the point of this?
What is the point of the collars?
I don't know, because it's like, I get it for Shinji, because Shinji, when he gets that collar put on first, is like, yo, Shinji, don't go fuck shit up. That's why I put this collar on you, so you could stay in your, you know what I mean? We put electric fences up. You can't see them, but, you know, if you run past them, that's it. But, like, why does everybody else have one? Like, why the hell does Rei have a collar on, like, for no reason at all?
I don't think Rei had one, because she just...
Her head explodes.
Well, no, because she couldn't be... She was a clone, and she couldn't be away from that facility for too long. So, and her time ran up.
But still, like, it, like, when her time runs up, though, her head explodes. That's like,
well, her whole body turns into LCL.
I guess there's that, too, but, like...
Yeah, her whole body just evaporated. It does look like, take the shot for a second, you know?
Yeah. But, you know, it's, like, one of those ones. And then, like, yeah, for some reason, Asuka's got it one on, too. And so does Mari, I think.
I think it's supposed to be this thing like, look, we appreciate you're working with us.
But we also don't trust you.
Yeah, well, they saw what happens last time one of them got into a robot.
It had an emotional breakdown.
Like, I think that's why they make them all wear it. But at the same time, though, I did kind of, we didn't really talk about the opening battle. I thought it was cool how they showed another major city. Because before, it's like, mm-hmm. undisclosed location, you really can't tell where. Or Tokyo 3.
Yeah.
I liked how they showed Paris and how you kind of see, like, oh, they can restore the world from all that red, like, filter shit. And then, I was going to mention this earlier, like, I said this last episode, the Evas, they all have a particular, like, cool look or personality to them. And now that they no longer make those type of Evas, Nerve just makes these robots that, in my opinion, look stupid, but at the same time, I get why they make them look not as interesting, because they're all function, no room for personality, which is kind of where Gendo's at.
Yeah, exactly. Just if you need to get the fucking job, I don't care how it fucking looks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't care if it's like five different coats of paint. This thing looks like a fucking quilt by the time it's done.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, that scene in Paris actually is cool, where it's kind of there, and then you see it's like, oh, cool. These other towns also had it built up for, like, you know, defense and so on too, where they kind of go in the ground and whatnot, and then coming up from, like, the red and so on as Misato and her space pirates kind of, like, cruise around in the air. They definitely use a lot of those, like, super rotational, like they kind of, like, you know, it's like they, like, double down on the CG and they have just, like, these continuous, like, rotational, like, shots going on.
Well, once you actually animate it, it's just got to be, like, as simple as, okay, render that, and we're done for the day, guys.
Yeah, it's just going to spin just around and around for a bit.
And we auto put in all those little, like, hologram crosses off in the distance to line up as they go around, so we're good. You know? I thought it was cool, like, a cool function. Because, like, something about, like I said the last time, is I like how if something happens with the rope, with the Evas, or there's some kind of damage, how they kind of make it look like this is something they had to slap together in the last couple days. And the idea that since she lost her arms in the last battle, and she has this ring thing with these arms and kind of go any direction, I thought that was kind of a cool look.
Yeah. No, that's really cool, too. I like that, you know. And just, yeah, the way that the machines all kind of look and how they're kind of pieced together, that's very cool and so on. And then, you know, as it kind of goes on, and Shinji kind of, like, finally, like, figures out what it's like to be a man, you know, and sees even more death. It's almost like once, like, Rei kind of blows up in his face, it's kind of like, he starts, I don't know what it is, it's like, there's that moment, like, oh, okay, I guess this is just life. You know what, people are just going to blow up in front of you all the time, it's better just get fucking used to it. It's just like one of those ones, like, it's like the first one's shocking, the second time it happens, it's like, oh, okay, I can handle this, well, I guess.
I'm not happy about it, but I'm not as sad the first time.
Yeah. You know, so it's kind of like, okay, we'll carry on from here and so on. And then, as they go into, like, the deep zone or whatever you want to say, it's almost like they go, like, to, like, fucking, like, center of the earth or whatnot, you know, to go battle, like, Gendo and his, like, the last of the, I guess, the Avas. I guess Ava 13 down there and what have you. And so,
Lucky number 13.
Yeah. He's down there, we get these, like, long scenes of, like, you know, well, I guess Shinji comes afterwards, but first it goes down there, and Asuka goes down there to fight, and this is where, like, she finally takes that eye patch off and so on, and pulls out, like, the sort of half Ava power she has, and, like, does, like, the fusion dance with the robot.
That part was pretty badass. Well, I'll say this real quick.
Uh-huh.
Regarding when they go to the negative zone, or the beyond zone, or the infinite, whatever it is, I don't know. They will go to three different zones, I forget what they each are.
Yeah.
That, I kind of stopped trying to understand and try and figure it out. By then, I was just like, yeah, we're shooting robots, we're flying around, they're talking fast. Okay, you know? By that point, I was just like, I'll try and stop and understand where they are and how they got there when they get to, like, the mind zone, because what else is there to focus on other than, like, the philosophy, you know?
Yeah, it's more just, like, action and, like, a father or a son understanding his father's reasoning with robot action in between.
Yeah. No, I do appreciate about this is when Shinji's having his total, like, mind melt session, and then they have the, and then they go, like, you know, what's going on with Shinji and all that, they cut back to robot action, which I appreciate.
Yeah, it balances it very nicely, you know, and just kind of going in there. And then you kind of see that, like, but you have these scenes with Mari and Shinji where, like, she almost does sort of take care of him. And I actually kind of like the way that the Mari story goes as it continues on throughout this. But, like, almost that it's almost like, which you could see maybe some people that, like, were, like, hardcore set on one or the other of the old characters could see how this Mari, like, who's this Mari character coming in fucking taking over? But I actually kind of like the Mari characters sort of, like, intertwine in there. And it almost felt like it made actually almost more sense than, you know, Shinji with, you know, going with more of a Rei or an Asuka type character.
I heard somewhere in, like, just a retrospect for this or a review that when he was making this movie, you know, it was about, like, when he made the first show, he was like, this is me learning to love myself, and then coming out, like, all right, well, now I'm a husband, and I don't know if he's a father or not, and this was like, well, this is me learning not to love myself, but to allow myself to be loved by other people, or something to that effect. I may be misquoting it there,
mm-hmm.
But you know, just taking, you know, going from being like a guy in his 20s or whatever, or a guy in his early 30s, to being a guy now probably in his, like, late 40s, early 50s, to being like, okay, let me come back to this with a new perspective, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. But as, you know, they sort of go deeper into there and so on, you get those kind of scenes with Shinji and his dad, and kind of like, now that part's kind of nice, where it kind of just finally deep dives into, like, you know, why he left him at the train station and so on, and it goes into, like, his Gendo's sort of, like, history and whatnot, you know, his childhood of, like, what he liked to do and how he didn't fucking like talking to people. He's like, even just like, it's like, you know, they fucking dragged me to fucking, you know, I don't like to go to other people's houses or relatives' houses, and people just want to talk about their fucking day job and bullshit and the stocks and, like, who they're voting for next election.
I just want to play the fucking piano.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Fucking just, you know, read about, like, fucking cloning and robots and shit.
Well,
and fucking Uncle Frank over here is coming at me, telling me about why I gotta vote this way.
the whole fucking Gendo thing.
Well, you know, and then he's trying to get me into the fucking Raiders football match that's on TV, and I really just don't care.
I say, oh yeah, and he's going to explain, give me the stats of every player, of names I'm not going to remember, and I'm trying to create an equation to make a robot navigation system in my head.
Yeah, exactly.
While he screams about the game on America. We're in fucking Japan. I don't know why we're watching the Raiders. But still, we're fucking doing that. And as he's yelling me about Jerry Rice, he's fucking spitting like half-chewed wiener dogs in my mouth. Those little breaded ones. I fucking hate the breaded ones. It just needs meat.
It's one of the ones we get to that Gendo scene, I'm like, I see where he's coming from. I get it. It started to make that character make more sense. I'm like, yeah, he just wants to do his own fucking thing. That's it. You know what I mean? Just don't want to be bothered. I understand that.
I don't want to be bothered. It's going to cause the end of the world and make us all fuse into one soul. Because, God, I'm tired of going to my, like, American uncle's house who's always telling me about the fucking Raiders. He's also trying to get me join his Freemasons thing. Believe me, it's not as romantic or as amazing as it is.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of dudes that go out in the woods, you know, with no women and just drink beer and just get totally wasted and just end up naked next to each other in the morning, not knowing what happened.
And then after that, they go about talking what fundraisers can they do for the community.
Yeah, just so they can get some more beer money.
Surprise, surprise. Maybe one event goes down and it just never goes down good.
One of those kind of things and so on. But yeah, as it kind of goes through there and whatnot, you kind of learn that almost like Gendo is actually not too much different than sort of Shinji. He's like, yeah, I used to just fucking, like, you know, listen to my fucking Duran Duran tapes and so on. And it blocked out the world with their, like, smooth singing and Hungry Like the Wolf style.
I feel like it would be, for him, it would have been, let's see, it would have been somewhere in the 80s, I guess, so... It would have been maybe...
I mean, technically, he's listening to, like, classical shit and so on because he's in the piano. I'm pretty sure he's not listening to anything, like, poppy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I'd like to think he's listening to, like, he's listening to Cure. He's kind of, like, early... Because he's kind of, like, similar to his son. The only thing is, they don't show him very much. They just show stills and him explaining stuff. When they show him, like, just the small subtleties they have. Like, they show him in a crowd... And he's walking the opposite direction from everybody else. And he looks kind of like Shinji. Just Shinji with glasses is all he really looks like when he's a kid. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and then, like, when you see him just from a couple of those illustrations and then one other scene, he seems a lot like Shinji. And I get that's the point, but I just never thought of that. I almost thought of him as so divorced from his own son that he I knew that he was like him in the sense that he was afraid to get close to him. But just literally the way he acted. Because there's the part when... They have the quick flashback where Asuka and Shinji see each other from across the yard, like, in a flashback. And when, like, Shinji's like, wah! Being a baby, like, white, like, swinging his arms around, Gendo looks like he doesn't know what to do. Like, he's almost afraid. Like, what do I do with this fucking thing? And Yui's like, I'll take it.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of weird, that one, too, where it's like, oh, Asuka and Shinji actually had seen each other as children.
And Asuka's, too, is, like, basically the other version of Rei.
Yeah, well, because Asuka's that one where it's just like, I want people to respect me. I want them to call me, like, the boss. I want them to call the champ. You know what I mean? Fuck the rest of the world. Like, unless I gotta be the number one. Gotta be the best. Like, she almost has that thing where it's just like, you know what? I'm gonna push everybody away because, you know what? That's the only way I'm gonna become the best. And I don't want fucking people to, you know, to deal with because people can let you down and so on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where Ray's, yeah, Ray's almost like, you know, like, almost like, hey, you know, people actually talk to me, but I just don't know how to react. But
yeah.
I'll go along with it, and I'll follow along.
My husband, father, maker, you know, never... These are our conversations. Do you like dinner?
Yes, I do like dinner.
Do you like eating with people?
Depends on the people.
Yeah. Good talk.
Like, what do you think about the sweet potato fries? A little too sweet for me.
Proceeds just to pour a whole thing of salt over it. handfuls it, eats it, not blinking, salt pouring out of the side of his mouth, just doesn't even flinch.
Yeah, it's just one of those ones. But yeah, no, it's like, all those, because it's like in those like flashbacks, like not only do they hit that sort of Gendo and Shinji kind of father son thing, they also have like some of the other characters intermingle in there. Because I guess by this point, in a sense, everybody's pretty much fucking, you know, sort of dead, in a sense. Masato sacrificed herself, you know, Asuka's, you know, kind of half angeled her way into God knows where. And then, you know, of course, Rei's head explodes and so on. You know, Quaro's dead and all that stuff. So now it's just, like, Shinji's having these weird, like, interactions with them in, like, the spirit world or whatever you want to kind of call it down there. And they just have some kind of neat scenes of almost, like, each of those characters sort of reacting. Like, even though I know this is kind of a little bit different, but it sort of combines in there. But even that one where, like, Asuka kind of says, she's like, you know what? At one point in time back in the day, I actually kind of had a crush on you in a weird fucking way. That's why I was being such a dick to you and so on. And then, like, later on, Shinji's all like, yeah, yeah, I kind of liked it when you, like, would be a dick to me and so on. And, you know.
Spit on me, daddy. What? I mean, spit on me, mommy.
Yeah, it's like, also, it's like, you know, remember that time that you came and you laid in my bed and you didn't want to look at me, but you were there next to me and so on? So.
You punched me in the balls and told me don't yell.
Yeah. Yeah. For some reason, I kind of like that. In a weird way.
Well, I appreciate them actually flat out saying. I know some people felt disappointed, but I know a lot of people, like, because, you know, it always seemed, because you can kind of tell she had a little bit of a crush on Shinji, and there always was this would they, won't they kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate this movie not only acknowledges it, but it's also kind of like, that was a school time crush. We both kind of moved on to different people. And the idea that, you know, she's with Kinsuke, someone you could not even imagine her with back in, like, you know, the school days. And then Shinji ends up with Mari, who is this girl with a lot of confidence and, like, you know, really just throwing herself out there. Where before, Shinji was like, oh, I don't know, you know?
Yeah, and I don't think she's really with Kinsuke. I still think that that's just one of those ones, like, she's just like that... I guess that, like, school friend who can just, like, yo, Kinsuke, stay in the fucking night here. Like, yeah, I'm taking your fucking room. You're sleeping on the couch, bitch. Get over there. Like, it's just that kind of... I feel it's more like that kind of, like, one, where it's just, like, he... Because he likes her, he'll kind of almost do anything for her, even though she's just kind of a total ass.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that's more what it is, because I don't feel like Asuka's really... Like, she's one of those ones, like... We ain't got time for that. Like, I got work to fucking do. You're playing the fucking Wonderswan. Fuck you. I got work to do.
You know, she says this is, like, you know, like, her own form of training, but when I walked in on her watching Netflix the other night, so...
Yeah, one of those ones. Like,
that thing has a couple different apps on it.
One of those kind of things and so on, you know, and, but as, you know, kind of goes on, I do kind of like how once it sort of gets to that kind of, like, somewhat of a reboot of the sort of the world, like, I guess you would say for the third time or whatever you want to kind of look at it as, I do like kind of that ending part where, like, Shinji and Mari kind of as adults, like, they kind of, like, oh, they're kind of fucking together, like, huh. That's kind of an interesting combo. As I said, I feel like there'd be certain fans that would, for some reason, I think that would bother, just because it's a new character. New characters sometimes always will bother somebody. Be like, well, there's probably people like, what if I was going to give a fucking Rei? Be like, that's like his, like, mom-sister thing. Like, I don't know, that's what I would have done.
Well, I also feel like it's one of those things where...
Which would make you start questioning that person real quickly. Like,
I don't care if it's my mom, yeah.
Keep it in the family is what I say.
Ever since I saw Mary Elizabeth Winstead and fucking Scott Pilgrim, I was like, God, I like blue hair. Yeah, I'm gonna make this happen.
You know, so it's like that. But I think that, like, I don't know, I think the Mari kind of Shinji combo, like... That kind of, in a sense, Mari's like that person who's like, technically, it's weird because she's like sort of the same age as I think all the other characters, but she feels much older. She feels like almost like she's like Misato's age. It's just she's a little bit more like, just the nicer character of the bunch with kind of like, in a sense, no real problems. Like that's the one character that doesn't really have like, I mean, I guess her problem is she has fucking glasses and Asuka's got a reminder every fucking second that like...
Four-eyed crony?
Yeah, she calls her a crony. Like, ah, you crony? Like she's using fucking 1930s slang.
Listen here, Shay.
Yeah, you
know. If anyone's gonna grab Shinji's dick, it's gonna be me. You hear me, Shay? Yeah.
Yeah, Shay.
I don't even like him. I might just jerk him off just to fuck with his mind. I know he jerked off on me one time. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, he doesn't think it, I noticed, but oh yeah, I noticed.
The whole thing with Mari, though, there actually is a theory, and I don't even know this thing with Ava. I feel like this movie closed all the important plot points and answered most of the important questions. But apparently there's a theory that Mari is like Asuka, where she's cursed to not be able to grow up because she has an encounter with Fuyutsuki, and Fuyutsuki's like, oh yeah, so it is you, so and so, like she has some, you know. And apparently I guess there's hints that she might be around the same age as Masato or something like that, kind of like, so
like she's been piloting longer than everybody else is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, which I don't know. I did not look into it. I overheard something like that.
But. Well, technically, though, like, the ending, though, says that they can grow up the second they stop, like, fucking dipping in the fucking Ava's, like, juice.
Well, yeah.
Because, Shinji and Mari, like, are, like, older in that last scene. And shit, it turns live action all of a sudden, too.
Yeah, well, I'm also wondering if it's, like, is that whole part... It's like I'm not sure how much they change, but they just make it a world without Avas and angels, and so it's meant to be like, this is reality now, and they actually say Neon Genesis, so after like 20 years or so, it finally comes around to being like, that's why it's called that, you know, it's kind of like any, you know, like, it's like, I guess that's why it's as good as it gets. Oh, that's why they do that. It's that, but just 19 years later.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's the new beginning, you know, and so on, which makes sense for the 3.0+1 type thing and so on. But
like explaining that on a first date.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, just show them the fucking intro to this movie, the first 10 minutes of it. See where they go after that.
There's got to be some guy. There's got to be some fucking nerd who got too confident on a first date. Like, you know what? You like anime? Like, I like Miyazaki movies. Like, oh, you're gonna love this one. Here, sit down.
That's the equivalent of like what Travis from fucking Taxi Driver would have done if he was into anime.
he's showing her like the blue girl or some shit.
Because that's the thing, is like Travis just makes like those weird, just like that's like the such a 70s thing. Like, you're on a first date. What's your first thing you think you're gonna do? Let's go to a porno movie, like in this you know, like seedy part of town.
It's not even a fucking porno movie. It's like the like season finale to Yu Yu Hakusho, and he spends the first like 10 minutes of the date, or like the last 15 minutes explaining the previous season. So
at rapid speed.
Yeah, and then turning on like the last two episodes.
Yeah,
what's wrong? I thought you'd like this. The guy had a burning sword.
Yeah.
The bitch had blue hair. I thought you'd enjoy this. It's not my kind of thing. You know what? You're a bad person! Bad things happen to people like you! Like, what'd you do? Like, I just told him I didn't like his fucking Japanese cartoon.
Yeah, Zach. His Japanimation. But yeah, no, it's like overall, like I think the ending in this Evangelion, like I actually really enjoyed it. Like I thought it like does wrap it up nice. I mean, yeah, you could always open a little bit more questions and so on. But like I think it kind of bookends a lot of the stuff, like, you know, Gendo and Shinji's kind of relationship. It kind of all like the characters throughout it. And it really just kind of leaves you when at the end of the day, it's just, you know, Shinji and Mari. And it's like they almost just kind of go on, like, you know, in a sense, probably a non-exciting life, in a sense. Just a very easy, after all this years of fucking mech battles and so on, it's like almost like, well, they're in, like, the city. They didn't retire to the countryside. They're like, Shinji's like, yeah, I saw that fucking farming firsthand. No fucking way am I doing that.
I can definitely see Shinji, though, being the dad, like, shirt tucked in at Home Depot. Like, oh, hey, kids, look, they have the finish we're looking for. God, that storage closet's going to look great by the time we're done.
See, that, or I feel like that episode of fucking Rick and Morty where, shit, it's like in like one of the first or second seasons where they have, what's the fucking dad's name in that show?
Jerry.
The Jerry. I love when there's all the Jerrys like at the outer space dump off place and they're all trying to hook up the cable or the plug in the VCR or whatever it is, like... That's fucking Shinji right there, in a sense.
I can totally see Shinji as Jerry. Like, folding very easily to whatever, like, complaint his wife has.
Yeah, totally. I don't know. I just feel like... I just picture him being that kind of guy that, like... The kids want to watch a movie. Oh, I got it. Let me go set it up. I got the settings just the way I like it.
It's even like, you want to watch? what was it like? Hey, Jerry. Oh, it's Beth. It's just someone like in a Beth-like costume.
Yeah.
Like a theme park. It's like, you want to watch Cannonball Run with the director's audio commentary? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, but yeah, that's almost how I pictured like the Shinji life's going to go on from now. It's just not like... I don't think it should be like one of those ones where like he goes off. It's like, oh, he was messed up as a kid and whatnot. Now he's just gonna change. Like, no, it's like, no, I just want to kind of go and go to the record store and get some cassette tapes because that's all I'm used to. You
know, I don't want anything too loud. Maybe some Eagles. Maybe yeah, if I'm feeling adventurous, the Eagles. If not that, then there's always the Cure.
Yeah, you know, it's just... Well, that's what my dad listened to, so I don't know if it brings back bad memories. The Cure obviously never cured him.
That was a joke, because, you know, the band's Cure... We get it, Shinji.
We get it. It's like, guess who? Let me guess. It's a woman with big breasts. Someone like that. Like, no, it's Harvey Keitel. I'm your new wife, Shinji.
Those balls belong to me.
Fucking Shinji just wakes up out of bed. Mori looks at him like, did you have the Harvey Keitel dream again?
He's like, oh. Yeah, he looks over at Mori. It's Harvey Keitel. You have the dun! The noise. He wakes up again. Like, well, I'll be right back. 1 second. Okay, I'm back.
I don't know what it is. Just something about that would be. Funny about if that was like the post credit scene.
Like no context. It's just like.
It turned into live action on that kind of like when that pan out shot and so on. You just automatically just have this weird fucking live action Shinji. And like Mari and old Harvey Keitel.
I used to imagine him like, surprise. Like with the, how creepy. That's one of the last voices you want to hear whispering in your ear.
Yeah, exactly. But no, like, yeah, overall, I think that's Evangelion. This was a good wrap up to this. It's I think that Rebuild series is almost kind of like, I mean, they kind of complement each other well, but I feel like this one is like a pretty solid package from beginning to end. There's really nothing like, you know, even like, you know, whatever like slowdown stuff, like even like they work to its favor. It's always got good action no matter what. Like I feel like it's a really well put together series.
Same thing here. I think this is a good ending to it, and who knows, they might do another version in like another 10 years maybe. Because they even said like they apparently want to, they might do, I mean, it's not sure if everyone's gonna be involved in it, but they might do a spin-off series that takes place during that 15-year gap, or they might even do like video games and comics of other previous versions of Evangelion, you know?
Yeah, well, it's like we talked about that manga cycle. That manga before, that'd be kind of interesting just to read through that and kind of see where that eventually kind of leads as you go through all the volumes and so on. Because that sounds like that, you know, at some point just takes off on its own.
Yeah, I flipped through one volume and I was like, oh my god, they're bringing in stuff from End of Evangelion. Like, they had the Angel Eva things with the wings. I was surprised we didn't see any of those in this.
No, yeah, it's kind of, yeah, there wasn't any of that kind of stuff. It's kind of weird how they didn't, like, have some of those, like, visual references to that, but... Yeah, I think that the mangas would be kind of cool to check out at some point. And, you know, yeah, it'd be interesting to see if they do another video, because they haven't done a video game for this for a long time either. It's like all the general, like, Evangelion video games, all is, like, N64, Saturn, PS2 era.
I think there's a PSP one where it's, like, a fighting game, and you could play as, like, all the Evas and even the Angels. Like, you play his, like, it looked kind of like maybe kind of like a toned down Smash Brothers sort of, because there's like platforms to jump on and stuff, but it was you could play as all the Evas and you could play as the Angels, like whether it be like a floating triangle thing or like the first one, you know.
Uh-huh.
So yeah. Actually, even that thing they there's that, like, test... There's that episode where they stop the... There's the test, like, thing that was the Ava competitor that they stop. He even plays that thing, too.
Oh, that's kind of cool. Well, see, that'd be kind of... That must be, like, the newest of the games, then. It'd be kind of cool to check that one out, too.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, there's all kinds of things like that that'd be just kind of fun to see and so on. And, yeah, there's more Evangelion stuff out there, I guess. And, yeah, it'd be interesting to see. I feel like as far as, like, the main series and so on, for as long as it took for this to come out, I'd be really surprised to see if another one even does come out, at least anytime soon. It might be one of those ones, like, way down the line, you know, when they decide they want to remake it or something like that, but...
Well, the manga named by... Yoshiki Sakamoto, which Dad didn't remember memorize his name. I just have a couple of Evangelion books on my bookshelf right here. He was the one writing and directing. He was writing and drawing that whole like manga series. So I could see it just being like Hideaki Anno just handing it off. You know what I mean? Like handing it off and just being a producer or something.
Well, yeah, that's what it sounds like. The whole manga one kind of is it's just the dude who created all, or drew all the characters and so on. Said, "Fuck it, I'm gonna take them and do my thing with them."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Yeah, I wouldn't mind doing that. Like at some point, maybe checking out those. I have the first six volumes. So yeah.
Yeah. It'd be cool to kind of go through and so on. Shit, actually, there's a PS3 game at one point.
Oh damn!
I mean, none of these came out to America whatsoever, but
they probably could now. I mean, I know they won't re-release these or anything like that, but I'm saying. At the time, you probably... Where Evangelion is now, I feel like they probably could do it. There's like a Cowboy Bebop game that was going to come out, and apparently...
There's two of them. There's the one for PlayStation 1 and one for PS2.
PS2, by then, Cowboy Bebop was popular enough to warrant an American release, especially with it being on Adult Swim and a movie coming out. But they didn't bring it out, apparently, because it didn't get the greatest reviews, and it also had, like... I overheard, apparently, someone sent a death threat if the thing would come in. Like, you're the little bitches that ruin things for everyone.
Yeah. So. And I really don't think... It's probably at the end of the day that they just didn't think it'd make enough money. But it's like, well, they released the Full Metal Alchemist games and so on.
Yeah, exactly.
And even weird stuff. I remember, like, because Inuyasha, when that kind of came out, they're like, shit, we can re-release the PlayStation 1 game of Inuyasha. You know,
yeah, I think Shonen fighting games really stand out for that for some reason.
You know, well, I think it's like that one. It's like some of the guys, like, they understood that, like, hey, there's that Dragon Ball money coming in from re-releasing those games. Let's fucking do it with some other stuff. But, yeah, not everything really got that kind of hook. But, yeah. But at some point, yeah, we should do some more Evangelion. But I guess till then, you can go check out oldmanorange.com for more podcasts, comic books like Pizza Boys, old animations, and all that fun stuff. I'm Spencer Scott Holmes.
And I'm Ryan Dunnigan.
Hey, we'll see you some other time.
Later, folks.